Hello. Welcome to another episode of This Thing On. We're back with a brand new episode for you in 2018. I'm, as always, Alex Petrovich, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Phil Lucas.
Hello.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Who cancelled at the last minute that means I'm here?
No. You are our first choice this month. A very good friend of ours and a very funny man.
Oh, God.
And very receptive to Facebook messages.
Well, that's on my phone, you see, so I get things very quickly.
Well,
I'm quite an organiser.
Alex rang me out of the blue and said, get me Phil Lucas on the
I often make demands like that.
That's what I like.
Joe Foster, fetch me Phil Lucas.
I like that. In an ideal world, I want to live I want my office to be an enormously long room that you have to walk about 50 metres and you're seeing me behind a desk the whole time with a portrait of me behind. So by the time you've got to me, you're scared.
Yeah, imagine this glass kind of skyscraper with just top floor, just all Phil Lucas.
There is that thing, isn't there, where they'd say change location at the last minute and it will throw the other person off. If you're having a meeting about something, you go, should we just go out here? And they're like, what the fuck? This has completely changed my whole perception of this situation.
I went to years ago when I worked for a PR company, I went for a meeting with another PR company and they had an enormous bowl of cream cakes and eclairs and nobody took one. And apparently it's to freak you out.
Really?
If you take one, you're like, how the hell? This is an important business meeting. I've had to say no to those Ferrero Rochers because I have been at Fat Club for 10 weeks. Didn't go to the last three sessions, gave up. They assisted I had a final weigh-in to tick off the boxes, and I put on half a stone.
Really? Fuck. What, since you've been
since
going?
I've been to Fat Club.
Have you been following their rules, or have you...
Oh, no, I was lame. Okay. No, I just didn't do it, yeah.
The bad boy of the...
Yeah. But she said, oh, it's all right, you can come back. Yo!
What are the rules?
The rules of Fat Club. Even I know that film reference.
No, seriously, what's it like? I'm generally wondering.
Oh, well, it's, like. It's a 1.5 hour session.
Did you meet any lovely friends?
No.
What's the lady who runs it called?
The lady who runs it is called Evie, who is a lovely Czech lady.
Yes.
She'd give you 40 minutes on why you should eat vegetables and not chocolate.
Yep.
And then you have 40 minutes exercise with another lady, Mad Lizzie.
Mad Lizzie. And what does Mad Lizzie make? What does Mad Lizzie make you do?
She pumps you hard.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty tug of war at the end.
Really?
Ever done a tug of war with 18 other 60-year-old men? Yeah, it's unusual. I got quite competitive.
Is it? I don't want to use the word segregated. Is it segregated into sexes?
It's only for overweight men over 45. And I qualify on all counts.
That's pretty... I mean, in a lot of those situations, you might not want to do that, but I kind of think I would. That bracket's quite... Because I'm sure there's, like, women in the same position that would be like, I don't want to be in a fat club with loads of... guys, do you know what I mean?
I mean, I didn't really.
Yeah.
See some of their shorts and some of the armpit sweat.
Yeah. Are they worse than the shorts I'm currently wearing?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but not that I want to describe, but listeners,
you can
Joe
describe.
Is in well above the knee purple shorts.
He's leaning back in a
seductive fashion.
Yeah. Those shorts are too short for that lean back.
You sure? Remember that bit in Alan Partridge where he's got the shorts off and then he perished? Feels a bit like that.
Joe was saying he's not really got the attire for running. He looks like he's just been on holiday.
You do, actually. You look like you're off for a Chinese in Tenerife.
Yeah. So apart from the purple shorts, you've also got a vintage England football
1998.
Shirt.
1998? As a vintage, is it?
It's from 1998. That's why it's disgusting.
What's them trainers you got on there, Joe?
These are some Adidas trainers that my girlfriend...
They look like... hang on, what's that? Pull that leg over here. That's a München. Adidas Münchens. Which are not specifically made for running, let's face fact.
No, they're not. No.
They are fashion trainers.
Yeah. You do, yeah, Uth, right, you do look like you have gone on a lad's holiday in January in Brighton.
Well, I'm going to let you guys into a little secret. Not a fan of running. Didn't really want to do it, but I've given up smoking for 3 days, which is why I'm glad you're on, Phil.
Ah.
Because you were a smoker for quite some time.
Yes.
And then you gave up smoking. Do you still scream inside your head every day?
No, because I vape far more than I ever smoked. Can't stop vaping.
Really?
Yeah, I've been on it 5 years now. I will die of popcorn lung.
Do you think would you prefer vaping now to a cigarette 100%?
Yeah, definitely, because you can sneakily do it on trains and planes. You could do it anywhere. It doesn't smell. It's awesome. I absolutely love it.
Well, I think that solved my problem.
Yeah, don't get healthy. Just start something that's unproven, unproven as to whether it's bad for you.
I'm not a vapor myself, but it does seem it's really easy to get away with doing it in places where no one's...
No, what you do in public, pubs and bars, most pubs don't allow it, actually. What you do is you just crack on till someone says, can you not? And they're always polite. And you go, yeah, all right. So you think, well, I've had about half hour out of it. Planes, you do what's called stealth vaping. You put it under your hand, you breathe in the smoke, you don't breathe the smoke out. No one knows.
Did you... because they're saying that they... When I was on a plane recently,
he's already got it so far in this podcast. My girlfriend, when I was on a plane, what a life!
They said don't smoke in the toilets of the plane, and that includes electronic cigarettes. But there's no way they can tell that, is there?
Oh, no, the only thing is sometimes the vapor could set off an alarm. But if you stealth vape, very easy technique.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time. God, I'm interesting.
Yeah, you sure are.
So, Phil, if our listeners listening right now, if they are a moron and they weren't familiar with your work and your stand-up, how would you describe your live stand-up to them?
The live stuff is is multimedia. It's all done on PowerPoint. So all my punchlines are on a big screen. So it could be a video, it could be music, it could be a Photoshop picture. But essentially, I can't write jokes. So I have to allow the visuals to do that for me. So I do that, really, yeah.
And did you always do the multimedia stuff, or did you start...
No, God, I wouldn't. I'm totally in awe of people who can do actual stand-up, because I'd always wanted to do it, but I knew I never could, because I just can't do it.
So when you first started, you went straight into the multimedia
stuff?
Yeah,
except I didn't do it on a multimedia in terms of a flip chart from Ryman's. Before I learnt how to do...
Have you got any of that stuff recorded?
I think I've got my first...
I've seen some of that.
Yeah,
stuff,
I think sure. My first ever gig I've got a video of. My first ever gig in opposite the old American Express building in Brighton.
Sure is out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I remember berating someone with a Kit Kat. I don't shit. Oh, sorry, are we allowed to swear?
Say whatever swear word you want.
Oh, good.
It's quite a limited amount, though, really.
There is quite a limited amount. I remember doing a gig at that pub, and the guy who was behind the bar was a guy called Sam Middleton, and he was working there for the summer. He'd been hired, but his job appeared to be to drink the place dry. And he kept on going, do you want another beer? Do you want another beer? Want another beer? And I was just like, at the end of it, I was like, I don't know whether this is a business or you're just... ruining someone, but I don't think it's you, because you've got far too much confidence with it.
It did close down.
I think it did
It shut down a while back. Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your non-life work as well.
Non-life, I do what I hope is comedy writing. It's never for me to judge, but yeah, I write comedy for websites, and I've done a tiny bit of TV, and I've done a couple of PlayStation games.
Oh wow!
And I'm currently doing some stuff for, and I'm not embarrassed about this. The the Sunday Sport.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you know those stories, like World War II bomber found on the moon.
Yeah.
I'm kind of doing those.
That is amazing.
So you're saying that those stories aren't true?
Oh no, I research them. You know, I'm out there in my Trilby hat.
Louis Theroux.
So that's the sort of stuff that you were doing even without doing it for the Sunday Sport, weren't you? So they've seen you do that and gone, just do them for us instead.
Yeah, it's a great job. Yeah, do them anyway.
So they've done what I said to Joe a few days ago and was, get me Phil Lucas.
Yeah. Did you press a button on a desk? So get me Phil Lucas.
Yeah. Phil, we need some content. Spaghetti and a tumble dryer, terrific. That's also in love with something.
What?
How long have you been doing the Sunday Sports stuff?
Only a couple of months now. That's relatively new.
Enjoying it?
I'm absolutely loving it, yeah. I sit at home in my bunker of ideas. And I just write absolute...
I've seen the bunker.
I write pony, and then I send it off, and then they either say, yeah, fine, and then they strip it down, or they come back and go, no.
What have you done? Tell me about the PlayStation game, actually.
Oh, yeah, did a couple of PlayStation games. One called That's You, mm-hmm. and one called Knowledge is Power, which have both come out. They're sort of quiz games, mm-hmm. and I wrote the... Each quiz game has got a sort of narrator, quizmaster, and I wrote the script for both of the narrators. They're different characters. Awesome. One is more sort of traditionally game show, and mm-hmm. one is more kind of American-y, hippie mm-hmm. type bloke. So I wrote the his words. So I've done two PlayStation games now, and I'd like to do more, but I've yet to be offered.
Listeners, if you're...
How do they find you for doing these things? Is it by seeing, like, the stuff on BuzzFeed?
Yeah, I'm a really big believer that Twitter is so important if you're doing something creative or you're a stand-up or something like that. It always amazes me when comedians go, oh, I don't have Twitter. I'm like, you're really missing out, because mm-hmm. most of my work has come from people seeing stuff on Twitter or projects I've done and gone, oh, maybe he could do something for us.
Because a lot of your stuff's gone like viral.
I'm lucky that some of it has, yeah.
So that obviously there were... So yeah. If our listeners aren't aware, do you mind telling them about the Kate Garraway advert in the window?
Oh, God, yeah. Viral. Well, one of the projects... I like doing like really silly internet projects, and one of them was I put 27 fake postcards in newsagents' windows and then photographed them. They were all offering for sale stupid things. And one of them was I was offering for sale 734 postcards, 734 photos of Kate Garraway that I'd taken over, I'd taken from my television over the last 10 years, and I was saying you can have them for £25 or I'll swap them for a similar collection of Deborah Meadham. Now, for some reason, this postcard, I didn't do it, got taken in isolation and kind of went viral because I think people thought it was real.
Yeah.
So it kind of picked up a bit of a thing. And then Jeremy Vine got hold of it and did it on Radio 2. And then Kate Garraway was aware of it. And then I had to do an interview with Kate Garraway on LBC Radio about it. But I was only allowed to do the interview once the producer had spoken to me for 15 minutes to find out, to quote his words, I wasn't dangerous. And then I said, because in my set, I sort of pretend that I really fancy Kate Garraway. Yeah. Which I don't, but I kind of, it's part of the stage. And I said to the producer, the guy on the radio, I said, do you want me to do this kind of as my obsessed stage persona or just as a bloke who's done a project? He went, well, do this yourself. We're not XFM.
How did Kate Garraway find it?
She pretended to enjoy it. Yeah. It's actually on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, if you listen to it, you can hear such a fake laugh. No. She's laughing and you can just hear her just thinking, oh, what?
Yeah. I bet that's, how did you try and convince her that you weren't dangerous? Like, you spoke to her directly on the phone?
Well, yeah, but after I'd spoken to the producer, yeah. Right, I said, okay. Look, it's one of what I've done, like, I don't really have it.
But even still, I think after 15 minutes of... conversation, when was she so how yeah so what how, what did what was the first thing that she said to you?
Well, I didn't speak to her before the interview, so I went straight live.
Yeah,
first time she spoke to me was I've got the person who did this postcard that suddenly I was made aware of and was a little bit worried about. She was really nice, but she didn't really want to communicate on Twitter afterwards. I thought we bonded. The worst part about it is every year or so that postcard pops up.
I've noticed that. Yeah. It it'll be someone who's again big on Twitter will go, oh, and then it'll go again.
It goes again. It happened about 6 months ago. And then, of course, I'm like, oh, I know the whole story. So I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. But that's fine. It's nice. But poor old Kate Garraway what's her name? Deborah Meadham. They have to go through the whole people going, oh, have you seen this?
Have you seen this, Kate?
Have you seen this, Deborah Meadham? And they have to do it. So I feel bad for them. But not bad enough to really care. Heard it on a couple of Radio 4 shows. People go, oh, I saw this in a news agent in Cambridge. And I'm thinking, you didn't, mate.
I think, though, sometimes I always worry when I share things that I'm like, have I actually done anything to... Because you just share the thing, don't you? Like, I wouldn't say, because what they must have saved it as an image.
Yeah.
Which is underhanded.
Yeah.
I usually share the thing, but I always wonder, have I, because there's so many, obviously you have to credit people.
You have to where you can. It's hard. And it's really difficult because you don't... I'm kind of really lucky that my silly projects and stuff, a lot of them or some of them have gone viral, but I don't go, right, I want to do something viral. What can I do?
It's like you enjoy...
Yeah, I do it. And I was doing this stuff well before social media
was
invented. And I was doing it for mine and my friends' benefits. So it's just a continuation. So if it goes viral... then that's brilliant, which is why I tend not to kind of put my Twitter handle to things, because it's a bit like saying, huh, I think I've done something really funny, like it, this is me. Whereas I'd rather it just disappeared, and if people know, like it, that's great, and if they don't, no great shakes. I'm never trying to prank people. It's obvious that these are a piss take.
Yeah.
So it's the idea is you read it and go, oh, God, that's bizarre.
I think we are just about in time for our regular feature, which is Plots That About.
Plots That About. That's a plot.
We've reached the moment of truth. It's the film feature that you were really looking forward to. You're a big film fan, Phil?
I know nothing about film. I know absolutely nothing. I've not seen The Sound of Music.
But luckily for this film feature, you do not need to know anything about films.
Good-o!
So it's I give you and Joe... It's a real film title.
Yes.
I'll give you a film title each, and you've got to tell me... you've got to make up a plot for that film, like who you think might be in it, and feel free to embellish as much as you want and say literally whatever you want.
This is improv, isn't it?
It's an improv game.
Sorry about that.
Right.
And Joe will be going first, so you can...
I forgot I went first. Yeah, okay, cool. Let's do this.
Feel free to embellish as much as you like, create as much story as you like, who acts the characters, who does what, absolutely up to you. Even... we never had who directs it or anything yet before, have we? That might be a new one.
I don't know any directors. Yeah. No, Stanley Kubrick. Yes, right.
So regardless of the film title, it's going to be directed by Stanley Kubrick. Right, Joe, your film this episode is Deathbed.
Deathbed. It's always a film about I'm trying not to do, because I've done this quite a few times, and it always goes, is a film about a man. I've become a cliche on myself. So this is a film about a dog.
Jesus, those shorts are tight.
Thanks. They are a little... I mean...
Jeez, when you leant forward.
See, I got it when he leant back.
Have you been checking out the goods?
Caught me in the eye.
Yeah, it does. No, oh, God, I was about to say something that made myself... Anyway, so Deathbed is about a dog, I've already decided...
what breed?
It is a husky. Who
popular breed?
It is a popular. It's a good one. Sometimes this works. This is so annoying. So it's a husky that lives in the. This is a spin-off film of Due South. So remember Due South?
I sort of remember it.
This is what happens to the dog after Due South. So after the Mountie and his New York cop detective friend Ray. Are both too old. The husky from that show, who somehow has outlived them. He's very well. It's that Canadian air. The mountain air has made him live longer than a human being. So Ray and the Mountie guy are not dead either, but old. Didn't know how much they were like about 35 in the program. So yeah, he goes off. He goes off to make his. Find his long lost brother.
Husky brother,
yep.
Who's also lived a long time
because of the mountain air. And he goes to
Husky Heaven.
Rio de Janeiro. He finds out that his brother has been making a living as a pickpocket. And he teams up with a local warthog who is voiced by...
Oh, it's animation now, is it?
It's a... No, it's not an animation. Right. Have you seen Homeward Bound?
All right, yeah, cool.
There you go. He teams up with a local warthog who is played by Danny DeVito. And the main guy is played by Richard Blackwood. He actually did a lot of animation work. He did...
He's the donkey, isn't he?
No, that's Eddie Murphy, you fucking racist.
Richard Blackwood is definitely the donkey in Shrek on stage.
Yes, he is on stage.
Thank you.
Now who's the racist joke?
I thought he was. I thought, yeah, you know what I thought. I think, but so they're in Rio. It's Danny DeVito and Richard Blackwood, and they are trying to find the brother who's been voiced by. No. I nearly made up a person. I nearly said Nigel Winterbottom, who isn't even a real person.
That's almost Nigel Winterburn, who was a footballer.
Well, it's not him then, is it? You could say that. You could do any of that.
Gaz's film debut.
Paul Gascoigne. Yeah, his brother's being voiced by Paul Gascoigne. And then they... But his brother is like... He goes to find his brother and his brother doesn't want anything to do with it. He's like, get a wee leg. Sorry. And then they chase each other through the streets. And then turns out that some people just shouldn't be friends. And they part ways. And he goes back to Canada. Deathbed.
Oh.
Wow.
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 I can't really say it. I've got to wait till
overnight. Yeah.
Oh, there's so much I want to say about this.
I'm sure you've got you've got detailed notes, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think that we can all agree, though, that it's not like any that I've ever done before.
No, I can appreciate you've kind of gone for like... This is like a director who is kind of famed for using all the same films, and then he's just trying to branch out. He's done a film about two huskies and a warthog. And
Deathbed.
So as you can see, Phil, it's just as easy as that.
Oh, there's no way I can do that. I can barely think of a comeback for a heckle. How am I going to come up with that? Everything I do is scripted. Oh, man. Right, okay. And I know nothing about Phil. I mean, that, to be honest, that was Greek.
Yes. I agree.
And to be fair, Joe's dressed like he's come straight from the Greek Islands.
Thanks.
Phil.
Yes.
So the film I have for you this month, and I know you're a big film fan, so you may have seen this. If you have, let me know.
Yeah.
Devil.
Devil? That's a word, isn't it? I didn't even know that's
good
a film.
Good stuff. He's onto something.
That a real film, is it?
Yeah, it's a real film. It's a real film.
Right, okay. So, low-budget porno. Okay. Directed by Ridley Scott. And Mel Gibson plays a washing machine repairman. Right. Greta Sacchi, I've heard of her. She plays a bored housewife. Right. Yeah. So what happens? She's bending over, loading the dishwasher. And she doesn't hear the doorbell go. And Mel's banging on the doorbell. No, he's not. He's banging on the door and ringing the doorbell. But
he's ringing the door, banging on the doorbell.
Yeah.
He's just hammering away.
And he can't hear. She can't hear him. So he's gone round to the window, kitchen window, and he's rapped on the window. But she's bending over, putting the dishes in the dishwasher. He grabs an eyeful of a little bit of cleavage, you know.
And classic porn.
Classic porn. She looks up and goes, "Oh!" like that. And then he mouths, "Oh, washing machine." She gives a thumbs up. He gives a thumbs up. He lets her in. He's in dungarees.
Obviously.
She explains what's wrong with the washing machine.
Has he been drinking or...?
No, he's not been drinking. He's ready to go. Yeah, this is early in the morning.
Right.
9 a.m.
9 a.m. Then he repairs the washing machine with a number of innuendos that I'm not going to go into now. And then she says, "Well, you've done such a good job. How can I ever thank you?" And he says, "Well, you can pay me," is what he says. Says you can pay
That's
me.
A big twist.
Yeah, no sex in it at all. Yeah, you watch it, right? You're really getting yourself all lubed for it, and nothing happens. Yeah. It's just a perfectly nice financial transaction.
Yeah, invoice.
Yeah, he goes home. It's the porno that never was.
And then he gives his wife a lovely, respectful peck on the cheek, and they sit down for dinner.
Absolutely. Then he goes upstairs and he cranks one off into a sock. It's the porno that is not a porno.
Devil.
What a pile of arse.
So now, producer Al will decide which of those two films he would most like to see. And afterwards, I'll let you judge first, then I'll reveal what the actual films were about.
Okay. All right. So, let's start off. Joe. For me, I liked... What did I like about it?
This is my time.
I like it. This is good. I like to start off with all the positives. I liked that we had some lovely locations. Rio, great. Not the first place a husky would want to maybe hang out. But still, still. Lovely place. Beautiful, beautiful cinematography we could have there in Rio. I like it a lot. Amazing cast. Where else are you going to get Paul Gascoigne, Richard Blackwood, and Danny DeVito in one place? Great cast. You did talk for about 10 minutes for no plot. There was that.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I can't think what the story of it was, because I'm not sure there was one.
He goes to find his long-lost brother, who's a pickpocket in Rio de Janeiro, and then they work out they don't really like each other. There's your plot.
2 hours of fun in the cinema. Brilliant. but there we go. So deathbed. Also not much to do with a deathbed.
You said, look, I always bring it back to the title, and that was the problem with that's why I never win, because I've never won one. So what I've done is I've taken out the plot and the death.
Anyway.
We should also mention to Phil that Joe's never actually won.
Ah, okay, that's worrying.
Anyway, beautiful location, great cast. that's about that. Right, cool. So that's Joe's positives. Phil, I mean... I liked that we got taken somewhere we didn't know we were going to get taken. I liked the fact that with your film, we were taken a place we didn't think we were going to go, because we thought we were going to go into traditional porno territory. And we got taken out of that and literally got taken out of any porno.
Nouveau porn.
Nouveau porn. That was exciting for me. I can see it now.
I can see it.
I can see it now.
Do we need to take five here?
Ridley Scott. Just great new territory, guys. Ridley Scott, so I can see lots of very fast-moving cinematography, you know, that kind of digital look that you can't really tell what the hell's going on, like in Black Hawk Down, that sort of thing. A lot of that going on with this situation of a dishwasher. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Again, just like Joe, there was literally nothing to do with the title. But that's fine, because
in this instance that's fine. Yeah. But
no, I'm saying it's fine because you did it as well, so they cancel each other out. Is what I'm saying on that one.
It's so cute when Phil does it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with purely because of the surprise element. I'm gonna go for Phil's movie.
Never.
On this one.
Congratulations, Phil.
I'm so shocked.
You are the winner of this episode's Plots That About. How does it feel?
Feels awesome. I've never won anything in my life.
Any words, Joe?
I have no idea what I need to do.
The only thing left with that feature is to tell you what the real films were about. Phil, Devil. It's a short synopsis. It's a Netflix film, and as you can imagine, and the plot is Detective Bowden must save 5 people trapped in an elevator, and he has to do it fast because one of them is the devil. That's literally it.
Oh, I'd rather stick toothpick up my ass and watch that.
That plot doesn't make you want to get into films.
Waste of time, innit?
If you thought that was a waste of time, wait till you hear the plot for Joe's film, Deathbed. Deathbed is about a demonic possessed 4-poster bed that eats people.
It would have been such an easier one to do. It would have been such an easier thing to do, wouldn't it?
That's literally the plot of the whole film. It's just this demonic bed that eats people. It's on a rampage.
So do you reckon it's all set in one shot? Like that guy in the guy.
Oh
in
no,
the
there's
coffin.
A there's a an, half an hour backstory of the bed growing up and
being made by kind of the old man. Run into the premiere in, and then it's one shot.
Being voiced by Richard Blackwood.
You're quite pointy, Bedermere.
That's a Cookie Monster, isn't it?
Can't be better, but let me get my tits out for no reason.
That's what they're always like, isn't it? Horror films.
Where did you find these films?
It's getting harder and harder to find these films. I normally go Rotten Tomatoes and go from like 0 rating up.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because there's a lot of trash.
They sound pony.
Yeah. Apparently that Devil film's quite popular on... it's quite popular on Netflix. I mean, I think maybe people are drawn to the fact that plot sounds so shit.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's got. But anyway, it's none of this has made me want to watch films.
we haven't won you over then yet.
Still a waste of time. Waste of 2 hours.
but you've won an improv game.
I have, yeah. I never thought I'd do that. I'm not an improver. Absolutely not. Cannot do it. When we do a podcast as well, and when we do it, I have got about four pages of not script, but bits I want to say. Phil, the other guy I do it with, Phil Jerry, because he's talented. He just rocks up and riffs it, and I hate him.
It's like me and Joe. I'm here with my little notes, and this guy's rocked up in his retro football kit, his shorts, fresh from a run. Yeah,
and he can, because he's the gold.
Exactly.
Well, not fresh from a run. I coughed for about 15 minutes when
He was a mess before you got here.
I've drank a whole pint of water.
Are you all right?
No, I haven't smoked for 3 days.
Do you want to tug on me a vapor?
Yeah, actually, I'd fucking kill for that.
Oh, yeah, it's quite strong.
It's quite harsh on the old... I used to have one of these babies.
You don't like it?
It's actually a lot harsher than a normal cigarette.
It's quite strong. I'll just wipe that
one. Last time I vaped, I realised that it's actually very harsh on everything. But you're saying you vape every 45 seconds. What would you do if they said you couldn't vape anymore?
That would be the worst. Yeah. I had to go 3 days without vaping in Czechoslovakia last summer.
Do you reckon you'd turn to fags pretty quick?
It broke and I only had one. I was up a mountain and I couldn't. It was. Oh my God, I went mad.
I've just got some questions for you, Phil, actually.
Is it a game or is it just at Phil?
You can join in.
No, it's fine.
Because basically it's only date. I only need years.
Yeah, okay, I can do years.
So basically I'm going to say it's kind of got a bit weird because I knew I was writing it for you. But I've got some questions and I just need to give you the year. So it's like TV programs. When was it made? Films. When were they made?
Okay.
And then at the end, it gets a bit weirder. Question one is Dad's Army. What year was the first series of Dad's Army aired?
68.
It is 1968.
Oh, that's well great. Done!
Wow! That's fucking insane.
I should be keeping score. I'm going to keep score.
Excellent. Question two. Steptoe and Son. When was it first aired? Just need the year.
66.
1962.
Oh, wow.
I should let Alex join in, shouldn't I, on some of these? Too late now. sorry. Right. Number three is, you might, now, this is one of those ones that you might help you to think of where you were at the time. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
84.
1991.
Terminator 1's 84, isn't it?
I don't know.
You don't have that on your phone, do you?
No, I don't. Okay, right. What year? Now, I've got these off Facebook, so you have to bear that in mind. What year did you visit Harry H. Corbett's grave?
Oh!
I'll give you a clue. It was the same day as you visited Tony Hancock's memorial, according to these photo ads.
Oh, that was last year. That would have been about May. What am I talking about? It would have been the year before, because definitely wouldn't have done it. It would have been about May 2016.
It is 2016, yeah. That's correct. You did do that, and you do know when it was.
I can see why I wouldn't be very good at this game.
Who wouldn't want to visit Tony Hancock and Harry H. Corbett's grave?
Where was that, sorry? Where was that?
Harry H. Corbett's is just outside Eastbourne in the most beautiful picture-perfect... If you can imagine a typical English picture-perfect church, it's this one. And Tony Hancock's ashes are buried just outside Heathrow Airport. Yeah. They did fly him home from Australia, so I guess it was quite near.
So was that all in the same day you did that?
No. I may put the photos up, but Joe isn't aware that you can put photos up from different days on the same.
What year did you attend a wedding? Now, that's loosely said, because I'm not 100% sure, with Stavros Flatley.
Oh, that was my current life partner's sister's wedding, which would have been 2000... Well, how old's a Sprite? That's just coming up to four, isn't it? So, what are we now? 2017? 2012?
2012 is correct.
Whoa!
What was Stavros Flatley doing there?
He was hired.
Really?
He was hired to do a surprise dance.
Did it? What was it like when he wasn't dancing? Because that's what I'm interested in.
Lovely. Really nice. Oh, yeah, lovely. Within the rather expensive fee that he charged, him and his kid will stay around for about 40 minutes afterwards, signing autographs, having photos, that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
I think it actually slightly pissed the bride off, though, because she'd planned one of these, you know, perfect days with, you know, every flower's got to be the right colour and everything was a beautiful old manor house. And all everyone goes, oh, it's great, Stavros finally turned up. Which her dad had just booked and hadn't told her. No, we hadn't told her.
It was a surprise.
Yeah, first dance happened. They were doing the first dance. Suddenly the doors burst open and Stavros Flatley runs him. Yeah,
oh. Did she even like them in the first place?
I don't know. No, that really. Is,
that is such a dad thing to do.
You've never met
it?
My girlfriend's dad. He's I think what you call a character.
Oh, that's so funny. The fact that he would, well, not for her, that would be, what a terrible thing to do to someone.
Was it during the first dance?
Just after. Yeah, so it's not so bad.
If the first dance was about to happen and then they burst.
Did you know it was going to happen?
No, nobody knew. It was a total surprise. Nobody knew.
Imagine how nervous you'd be just before.
The only person who knew was his dad, was the person who booked him. Yeah, yeah. We all stood there and suddenly we were like, what is happening? He's... Stavros Flatley piles through the door to this really loud Greek music.
Oh,
and
God.
Everyone went mad.
Really?
Well, in an enjoyable sense.
And then
sense.
It fucking kicked off. they were beating them up.
I've never seen a riot like it.
The best one I've ever heard, sorry to...
No, it's fine.
But this is a friend of a friend, and she was apparently... I've never met her, but she apparently was quite sort of a bit posh and, again, planned her wedding. Everything had to be perfect, and she was really traditional. And she got to the church, and they're walking up the aisle. Now, a lot of churches nowadays will put a CD of the music rather than an organist. Yeah, yeah. So obviously they'd given the CD of the music. So she just got into the, she just got in with her father and was about to walk up the aisle and suddenly it went, in 1972, a crack commando unit were... Because apparently the wedding before was kind of a novelty wedding and they'd left the CD in and apparently she went mad. Yeah, so she had the A-team playing at her wedding. I'd love to have been there. Sorry, I've interrupted you.
That's all right. I've only got one question left.
Please keep interrupting.
This one's a bit harder because it's a little bit further away. Number six, the final question. What year were you hungover and attended a model village?
Oh, that could be any year.
It really could be. But it's not. It's a particular one.
I reckon probably 2008.
It was 2007.
Was it seven? Oh. I remember it very well. Beaconscott. Yes, the world's first model village. and arguably still the best.
Well, I did keep score. I mean, in the print, not that important, are they?
No.
But I kept score.
Oh, right.
You got 3 out of 6. 50% there.
It's all right. It's not a C, isn't it?
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. That was it.
Was that it?
Film years.
Oh, you said it got a bit weird at the end.
Well, I don't. I would have presumed that asking you about when you were stood next to a model village hungover was quite slightly weird.
I go to model village every year.
The Stavros Flatley thing—that's pretty crazy.
I guess so.
How much? I wonder how much they were. Probably thousands.
It was. I think it was two something for about an hour's work.
Oh, you can see why. Can't
and
you?
The kid was pretty much a teenager.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. I saw
he was 15, 16 by then. Yeah.
How old was he when the kid when he was on
he
the front?
10 or 11, wasn't he? So
yeah. So he was probably 15. He must have looked about 15, 16.
Yeah, right? I think he probably was. So,
but imagine how much. That's like, you know, you do enough of them a year.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, other thing, fair play. That's a limited lifespan. Milk it.
Yeah.
Milk it.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for it to be really dark, and in between it, I don't want to do it, Dad. Just keep dancing, Ginger. We'll get to LA.
No, unfortunately, they seem to get on really, really well. So they seem to be the best of friends, which is a shame, isn't it?
That's actually quite a wholesome relationship. What a jip. What's the kid's name?
No idea. Right. No idea. I mean, I don't want to break it to you, but the bloke, he's not called Stavros.
Really? Oh. This whole act was a lie.
He's quite a geezer, but then, you know, he's quite sort of like, oh, mate, yeah, no worries. He runs a building company.
Does he?
Yeah.
So he's double minted then?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, God bless him.
No, they were nice. Nice. Hey, nice guys. Great guys.
You know when you meet your heroes and...
Oh, wow. What a brilliant thing we've all just done.
Maybe we'll get them on.
Well, not if it costs that much.
It's been mentioned already, but Phil, you have your own podcast.
Yes.
Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Like you guys on Audio Boom,
yeah,
which is a lovely place to be. A bit of cross-pollination going on today.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I do a podcast with a proper stand-up called Phil Gerrard, who's a very, very talented bloke.
Former guest on the show.
Yeah.
Our first ever guest.
Yeah, actually, why am I bigging him up? yeah, I do a podcast with Phil Gerrard, and it's called Ultimate Scrutiny. It's on sort of iTunes and Audio Boom and all your various formats. And the plan is that culture is... The theory is that there's no new culture anymore. Everything we do now is just tweaks on stuff that's gone before. Really, that is only because we were told by Audio Boom that you're not allowed to just talk. You've got to have a format. So we made up a format.
They never told us that.
They tried to stop us. Yeah, so that's it, really. So we just talk. We talk. We're essentially two angry middle-aged men, really, having a moan is what we are. We're constantly being told, you've got to get guests on. You've got to get guests on. Which we should do, really.
That's our format.
We have a guest, though. That's why we haven't been told that. We haven't been told anything else, though. I think they kind of think we're a bit of a lost
Oh, no, because I always get that vibe as well.
Audio Boom. Okay, if you do really well on a podcast, then you get, like, sponsors and things. Not just with audio, whoever it be, you know, you always hear, you know, I'm not going to go on about what podcasts are, but, you know, some of them are like, oh, you know, hey, why don't you try getting this mattress? And they've given them a mattress or what have you. As we're all involved in making podcasts, each of you, what would be your ultimate company you could be, your one company that you could be sponsored by that you get some free shit from them?
Lockheed Martin defense contractors.
Boom. What exactly do you want from them, Phil?
Weapons.
Yes.
Tours around factories. I don't want weapons, but I want to see how stuff's made. I want to go see how fighter jets are made. And yeah,
maybe they'll hear
BAE
this.
Systems, any of that. British Nuclear Fuels.
That was quick. You were straight in there,
yeah,
Joe.
It was probably Vans or something. I like Vans.
The trainers or or a van company?
No, just the cars.
Transits mainly.
No, pretty non-specific.
This podcast is actually by vans.
And all the vans.
When a lorry's just too big.
No, I don't think. I to be honest, I've gone off vans. I don't know something. I'd like to publicise money, and then I just get loads of free money. Isn't money great? Sponsored by capitalism.
That's like when the cup competitions in England, football competitions, were just sponsored by milk.
Were they?
It's just called the milk.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? I remember that.
Alex?
Bupa Healthcare, because let's face it, I'm a ticking time bomb.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, my word. That would be good for you. You should write to them.
Yeah, you're already their, like, main guy, you know?
I'm the poster boy.
You're their Howard.
Brilliant. What about what about you?
It's got to be an airline. So one of the big ones Qantas,
he's just
Emirates.
Said something really good, actually.
Yeah, Qantas, Emirates, British Airways, or Virgin, someone like that. We can get free flights to like Australia and America and all over the place. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Everyone, listen to Ultimate Scrutiny. A fantastic podcast approved by us and Guardian.
And the Guardian.
We're more important.
Yeah. Of all the papers, you know. You know, that rag. I feel Jared's very happy, but yeah, I wanted the Telegraph. that's the premise of our podcast. I pretend to be right-wing. I am right-wing. And Phil is Phil. I'm not really right. I pretend I am.
Are you left wing but with grievances?
Yeah, I would say I'm slightly right of centre, but I would like to see the railways nationalised. I'm not a bad person.
For our listeners, what is your Twitter?
Twitter is just at Phil Lucas.
And website?
PhilLucas.com. And if I could be so bold as to mention the Ultimate Scrutiny, which is at ULT Alt Scrutiny. Thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute delight.
No, thank you very much for coming on. Listeners, make sure you check out Phil Live and check out Ultimate Scrutiny, a very, very funny podcast. Joe, do you Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I have. Brighton Fringe, please come. 4th of May, 5th of May, 29th of May and 30th of May in the Borough, which is in the Warren venue in Brighton for the Brighton Fringe, yes. And I really need to sell this out because I thought that the Warren was just an aesthetically pleasing area, but it turns out that you actually have to pay for it. So I need that money back. But yeah, no, so there's that. And I'm also doing the Hastings Fringe, but I don't know anything about that. I found out today.
That's all from us this episode. That just leaves me to thank everyone that's been part of this today. Thank you to my co-host, Joe Foster.
Yep, cool.
Mouthful of Ferrero Rocher.
I thought it was all gone, but it's still there.
Thank you to producer Al. Thank you to our fantastic guest this month, Phil Lucas.
Thank you. It's been a right honour.
Laters, everyone.